Okay, I would like you to turn in your Bibles to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. If you have a Bible or a phone app, please turn there. And I'm going to share this message that the Lord has given me to share for today, for such a time as this. And I want to ask you a question while you're turning your Bibles there. I want to ask you personally, individually, what does it mean and what does it look like for you to live dead? We're going to be talking today about a key principle of the kingdom. It's deep, but it's not that deep. So what does it mean and what does it look like for you to live dead, and why is that so important? Why is it important for you to live dead? All right, I am going to put those scripture verses up there. Let's pray before we read this, okay? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, Lord, that you want all of us. Because when you have all of us, you're going to show us more, and you're going to use us more in a spiritual way. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that our eyes would be open, that our ears would be attentive to hear, that there would be no distractions. We pray that the enemy of our souls, God, would be bound and tied, and that your presence and your spirit would be loosed in this place. Father, we need you more than ever. We ask for your blessing, your anointing, for your will to be done here now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. The passage, message entitled today is Living Dead. You'll understand that more as we go along. We can show the next slide there, slide 3. Okay, from John chapter 12, verse 20 through 26. Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the feast. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. Sir, they said, we would like to see Jesus. Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip in turn told Jesus. Jesus replied, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Those are the words of Jesus. Okay. I want to start with the first few verses that we we go to slide 6. Okay, I want to just highlight the setting here. Of what happened the setting of this text is that the Passover is coming. It's just a few days away. And crowds are moving toward Jerusalem for the Passover. That's a pretty big feast for the Jewish holiday for the Jews. So you've got some people that are curious about Judaism. They want to be a part of it. They might be in it only by name, but they're following the crowd. They're not Jews, but they're following the crowd. And there happens to be some Greeks, okay? And ironically, they come up to Philip, which actually Philip is a Greek name, which is kind of interesting. Might have had something to do with why they approached him. And they came up to Philip, and they said, sir, we would like to see Jesus. friends, we're just going to carry out a few observations from this point of the text. Sir, we would like to see Jesus. Friends, I just want to encourage and challenge you. There is nothing in myself, Pastor Jimmy, Pastor Johnny, that's really that exciting. When you come through that door, we want you to expect to see Jesus. Okay? And actually, as I was praying this morning, I thought about that sign that's out there. When you leave, it says you are now entering your mission field. That's true. Right, Jeremy? Out there is your mission field. But I kind of thought, wouldn't it be cool to have the door coming into the sanctuary? Sir, we want to see Jesus. Because you know what? Every one of us will let you down, but Jesus never will. He will never let you down. In fact, he says in Isaiah that those who hope in me will not be disappointed. Isn't that good news? I've been so disappointed in my life, and Jesus says, I will never disappoint you. That's good news. In fact, he says, if you thirst for me, if you want to really see me and know me, he says that when you hunger and thirst for me, I promise you that I will fill you and fulfill you. I can't promise you that. Pastor Jimmy can't promise you that. We're just like you. We're just flesh and blood. But yet Jesus said, when you come through that door, in fact, when you come to church in the morning, I just encourage you, friends, come expecting to see Jesus, not a person. Not a person. Come expecting to see him. You know, I read this and I heard this. I thought, this is so cool. Some of the pastors of old, in fact, you know, the old wooden pulpits that you've seen. This is a more of a modern version one. It looks good for Pastor Jimmy's iPad. But some of the old pulpits, you remember that. Well, you know what they would do? You couldn't see it, but the pastor could see it. They would actually engrave this verse on the inside of the pulpit as a reminder to them. It would say, sir, we want to see Jesus. You know, the main objective for every minister of the gospel is to point you to Jesus. There's nothing in us. The only thing Pastor Jimmy, myself, Pastor Johnny, others can give you is what God has already given us. Maybe a little bit of wisdom. But our ultimate goal, our ultimate task, is to point you to Jesus. We can't save you. We can't heal you. Who are we? We're rusty pipes and clay pots, just like you. So when you come through that door every day, every Sunday, I just want to challenge you to remember that verse. Sir, Pastor, remind yourself, I want to see Jesus. Okay? Next, let's look at the portion of Scripture there where it says that, you know, it's really interesting. Those men, they'll stay on the last verse, Christian. Those men, they said they want to see Jesus. So it says, Philip went to tell Andrew, and Andrew and Philip in turn told Jesus. But you know what's interesting? They walk up to Jesus and they say, hey, these guys want to see you. Well, what kind of a reply does he give them? Look what he says. He doesn't say, yeah, bring them over. Come on over. Yeah, I'll talk with those guys. Friends, Jesus is on a mission, and he will not be deterred. Look at how he answers the question where they said, some of these guys want to see you. He says, my hour has come for me to be glorified. I don't have time for that right now. That's not in my agenda. You know, it's interesting. You see where it says that, sirs, we would like to see Jesus? In the Greek, that phrase, to see, actually means to have an interview with. They wanted some of his time, but Jesus didn't have that. It wasn't on his father's will, that his father's clock, to meet with these guys. I guess what I'm getting at is Jesus was the consummate human, God-human, that didn't get caught up by distraction. Okay? One of the things that God's really been teaching me big time lately is in every one of our lives, you have good, you have better, and you have the best. We have to learn to say no to good and better, and learn to say yes to the best. Because I can tell you, all these things are going to try to crowd out your time. And friends, we're all of us are on God's timetable. In fact, you realize that the God time is a thing? He's not in time. He doesn't exist in time. It's a thing. It's like this. It's what time is. You spend it. And you're going to be held accountable for it. Because it's an asset placed in your lap. Right, Jeremy? It's an asset. So, let's be careful of distraction. Just like Jesus was. In fact, this is just a side note, but do you realize that every single person, the average person lives about 700,000 hours? Isn't that interesting? But Jesus says, my hour has come, and I won't be deterred. Okay, let's go to the next slide. I want to, I don't know if you can see this, but can anybody take a guess what that is? It's an acorn. It's a seed. You know, it's interesting that I can put that seed right there, and it won't do anything but just sit there. It won't grow, it won't flourish, it won't do anything. But do you realize the potential that's in that? The potential that's in that seed? Let's look at slide 9. Jesus said, I tell you the truth. Unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Friends, we're going to cover a principle here, and I'm going to kind of camp on this for a few minutes. It's one of the most profound, but yet one of the most important principles of the kingdom, that there is no life without death. And Jesus told it in this, in simple terminology that they could understand, that it's interesting how he took such a profound mystery of the kingdom, but he relates it to the plant world and the fact that a seed never produces anything until it first falls into the ground and dies. Can you show slide 10, please? Let's start off with, look at this picture here. And I want to key in on this outside piece. It's called the seed coat. Okay? Now, this represents every one of us. Now, I want to say first that verse I just read, that unless the seed falls in the ground and dies, Jesus was talking about his death. Okay? He was talking about himself. But there's a parallel. We can take that from Jesus' example. Okay? Now, you look at that seed coat, and friends, that represents our shell. That halts what God wants to do in our life. The potential that is in us, that seed coat hinders what God wants to bring forth. Now that seed can represent your ego, your self-will, your self-righteousness, everything that's against that hinders what God wants to do in your life. It holds that back. It holds back the life that that God wants to produce. You know what's interesting? That seed, it will sit there, well, not for eons. It eventually would break down, but it would take a long time. But that seed is meant to go into the ground. I just want you to track with me on this. When you put a seed into the ground, what's the environment? It's usually cold. It's damp for sure. Most of the time it's dark. Okay? All those things have to take place in order for that seed to see, that seed, there's life in that seed. I think they call it germ or something like that. But there's life in that seed, but it can't be released until the seed coat is disintegrated. Does that make sense? Until that seed coat is disintegrated, that seed will never come to life. You know, it's kind of funny. If I put that seed in the ground, you know, people step on it. You know, it's cold, it's dark, it's damp. But what the conditions of that soil represent are the things that God will bring into your life to break down your seed coat. And friends, I want to tell you, this process doesn't end until the day you take your last breath. I don't care if you've been walking with Jesus for 100 years. Your seed coat is never completely disintegrated. Okay? You never arrive, not this side of eternity. But God is in the process of bringing circumstances into your life to break down your seed coat. He will do that. He will bring in heartache, abandonment, all kinds of trials and tribulations, because God knows you need those. You need all of those things, because what did Jesus say? Unless this seed dies, it remains all by itself. So when James says that, count it all joy when you face trials and temptations and all these things, count it joy when you face them, because they're needed in your life. Now, just like when the disciples were in the middle of that storm in that lake, they were right where God wanted them to be. He hadn't abandoned them. And friends, I don't care what happens to you. If you're walking with Jesus, God has allowed every circumstance to come into your life. If you're wise enough to recognize, God allowed that for a reason. Because my seed coat needs to be broken down. Now I want to show you something that is so amazing in regards to what I'm trying to share here. Okay, why don't you go ahead and maybe we can catch the lights just briefly, but the next slide is actually a video, and I wanted you to see this. That after okay, watch this. Just before you play it, Holy Christian. Now see that seed? That seed is in the ground. It's in the process of dying. It has to die. Friends, unless this seed dies, it can never bring forth life. And to the extent of its death, more life is produced. Go ahead and play that, please. Okay, watch this. So the shell has just disintegrated enough in a root start. Friends, this is a major principle of the kingdom, that unless you die, you will never produce the life that God wants. Now look at this seed. Look at how the roots go, going down into Jesus. And when that happens, look at what's happening here. Life is being produced. That seed has to die. It has to die. You can already see the fruit on it there. Some of the fruit. And I'm doing a video. Alright, so death brings forth life. Friends, there's no getting around that. The life of Jesus can never come out through you unless you die. And to the extent that you die, is the extent that Jesus and the Holy Spirit can move through you. Can't get around that. I love this, and Jeremy, you'd appreciate this. One of my favorite authors, Elizabeth Elliot, she says this: no missionary is going to be of any use to God nor anyone else unless they are first willing to die. That's not easy to do. But you know what? God loves us so much that He will not allow us to remain where we're at. The kingdom doesn't work like that. The kingdom is always going forward. Right, Dana? I love this statement. Listen to this by Chuck Swindoll. He said, when God wants to do an impossible task, He takes an impossible individual and crushes him. Friends, let me say that we can trust God, because when He crushes you, you're crushed in love. He will never crush you like one of us. We can be so evil at times, but if you're walking with Jesus, God will use all of that. And I just want to encourage you to open your heart and be wide open to let God's love crush you. Because you just saw in the video, unless you are crushed, unless your seed coat is broken down and disintegrated, you won't be of any use to the kingdom. None. I want to show you kind of a fun thing that I found. I found out that I thought of about producing this this message. Does anybody know what that is? Do you know what tree it's from? Yes. I'll give you a hint. It's of the largest tree in the world. What's the largest tree? A giant sequoia. Well, sequoias are the tallest, but they're not the most massive. This right in here, friends, are probably thousands of feet. Can you show that slide? That's how big. The largest tree in the world. That's how big that tree is. Friend, only God knows the potential of a seed. Don't ever underestimate yourself or anyone else that you're encouraging, that God can't do great things to you. This is a great word picture of what? I'll tell you one other tip, one other side note, and this is the truth. I actually picked this up in Sequoia National Park. Can you show the next picture? If you look way at the bottom, you can see me right there. Look at how small I am next to that tree. But you know what's interesting? I heard this from a forest ranger. He said these cones drop, you know, regularly from sequoia trees. The only way that the seeds can be released is by a forest fire. Isn't that interesting? God is so good that He gives us all these word pictures. Friends, that is so relative to our lives. God's word says you're going to go through fire and you're going to go through flood. And they need to happen. I will be with you. Friends, if you forget one thing today, to the extent that you die, you die. To the extent that you live, there's no getting around that. You must be crushed. But see, that seed coat represents your will. You can do it whatever you want. That's what's so interesting about our loving God. He doesn't force one person to do one thing. Nothing. He says, if you're willing to die, let's go to the next slide, 14. Jesus says, if any, well, actually, this is another passage, but in Luke, He said, to the crowd, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross or her cross, and daily follow me." Friends, this walk with Jesus is one day at a time. In fact, I'm learning more. It's 1 hour at a time. Like it's 1 minute at a time. And God will put you in circumstances where you have a choice to die. He said, there's no getting around it. You have to deny yourself. You know, it's interesting. When you see in the store, you know, how many, well, I'm sure there's practically 50. Yeah, you have a cross on. I saw that this morning. Friends, every time I see this, I'm reminded that, you know what the cross represents? Really? Death. It represents death. Unless Jesus went to that cross, he had to go there. Otherwise, he couldn't bring life. And friend, it's the same way. We can't skirt that issue. That Jesus says, you take up your cross. I will cross the cross if you're going to look like mine. Thou cross is going to look like mine. I have a custom-made cross that was produced in love that I'm to carry. Some days it seems unbearable. I've had days where I thought I was going to die, and God said, is that what I want you to be? Friends, let me say this, that whatever keeps you close to Jesus, whatever it is absolutely necessary. You might say, there's something that I can't touch. If it keeps you close to Jesus, it's necessary. Just like Paul didn't, God didn't take away Paul's throne, he said, it has to stay there, my God and Father. You can't grow without having me be close to God. Had a situation at work recently where it just came to my mind as I was putting this message together. It was a co-worker, and she has her area, and I walked by and I threw a crumpled up handful of something in the trash can. And she looked at me and she said, are you going to empty that can? And she said, if you're not going to empty it, don't put anything in it. She meant it. And I wanted to tear into her. I said, are you kidding me? But the Holy Spirit said, don't resist the evil person. In fact, the Holy Spirit said, I want you to take that trash can. I'll tell you, friends, I am so grateful to the Holy Spirit. I had to die. I walked over to that trash can. I picked it up and I took it. And I went to the other side. And I didn't say a word. She didn't see it. Friend, that took a lot for me to do that. That I had to die. But to this day, God used that. That planted a seed in your heart. Remember, to the extent that you die will be the extent that you live. My friends, I want to, you know, we're all dying physically. That's just a given because of sin. But this is spiritual. You have to take everything that Jesus said to you as spiritual. It's deep. But it's necessary, it's profound. Death is always the key to life. Go to slide 16. We finish up here. Jesus goes on to say that the man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant will also be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. You know, when Jesus says, a lot of people might be confusing. It says, whoever loves his life will lose it. But do you understand what he's trying to say? You have to love him more than anything, or you're going to lose your life. That if you want your way, your will, your deal, and you're not willing to deny yourself, you're on your own. Jesus ain't fooling around here, but he says, the good news is, the man who hates his life in this world will keep it. Now, what he's saying there is, another portion of scripture, he says that if you, how does he say that again? Unless you hate your father, your mother, your daughter, all that more than me, you can't be my disciple. What he means there, friends, is we're never to put anyone above Jesus. If you're married, Jesus comes first and then your spouse, okay? Jesus always has to be on top. In fact, I love this saying, and this was actually quoted earlier from Elizabeth Elliot. This is from Jim Elliot. Her husband, who passed away, was speared by some natives as they were trying to share the gospel. I love this saying. He says, he is no fool who gives up that which he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. I'm going to say that again. That is good. He is no fool who gives up that which he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. Now, one other thing, you know, friends, denying yourself doesn't mean that, man, I'm just going to get in there and I'm going to dig in and I'm going to work harder and I'm going to try to please God and you know, Jesus said that his will, his work was to do his Father's will. You know, as I get older, I learned that, you know, Jesus didn't heal everybody. He didn't touch everybody. He didn't talk to everybody. He carried out his Father's will. And friends, God has a plan for each one of the individual lives. And that's what he's going to deal with you on the other side. He's going to say, did you do what I asked you to do? Not all these extra things to try to please God. You burn yourself out. God knows what you're made out of. He wants you to do what he's called you to do. You know, it's funny. I remember hearing a story about a gentleman that he said, boy, God, I could sure do a whole lot more for you if I didn't have to sleep 8 hours a day. Think about that. If doing everything you could for God was that important and burning yourself out, why would he have you sleep 8 hours? Think of everything you get done. Well, friends, God doesn't need us. He allows us to come along with what he's already doing. In fact, the key to this verse is really surrender. It's not working harder. It's surrendering more. And that's where that seed pod comes in. Pride, self-ego, arrogance, self-will. It's all in that. And we are in charge of our seed code. God won't fool with that. He'll bring circumstances that allow you to surrender. You are never more fully alive than when you're fully dead. You're never more fully alive than when you're fully dead. Send this message. I'm going to read something, and I really want you friends to listen. Next to God's Word, I think this book has changed me so much.